The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Families of victims need truth to move on with their lives. These are the words of Damon Brown, grandson of Sean Brown, who was cruelly murdered on the night of the 12th of May 1997 by the Loyalist Volunteer Force. Now, the family have been seeking answers since the day that the popular JA chairman was killed. Unfortunately, there are still too many questions without those answers. And joining me on the line is Siobhan Brown, daughter of Sean Brown, and Damon Brown, the grandson of Sean. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Now, I was watching the RTE programme about Sean, your grandfather and father, respectively, and he was a pillar of the community. Much liked, much admired, and so tragically and inexplicably lost.
Yeah, that's totally correct. He was a great family man, a great community man, and he was out to help everyone. And unfortunately, his life was taken, cut short and taken from him on the night of the 12th of May, 1997.
Now, what happened that night, you can only piece together, but he was down at the club, the GA club, and was kind of locking up when he was abducted and killed. Whether he was killed on the spot or whether he was killed elsewhere is not truly known.
We believe that he was abducted, yes. There was a football match on that night, followed by the weekly club meeting. He locked up the clubhouse at about 11:30 and proceeded to go to the gates of the club to lock them. He was abducted and put into the bed of his car and driven 8 miles to Randallstown, where we believe he was shot 6 times in the head that night. Totally innocent victim. Hadn't a bad bone in his body, but cruelly taken away from us.
And the next day, when your mother found out, well, first of all, there was a bit of an alert that he had not turned up home, but he was the kind of man who would help other people in an emergency. So it was presumed that he was giving someone a dig out, maybe taking someone to hospital. But when he didn't show up by morning, I suppose everyone was deeply concerned that something terrible had happened to him.
Yes, certainly. Obviously, my mother, my sister and a brother were all at home at the time in the house. And Mummy had actually got quite concerned because he hadn't returned from the club meeting. My brother had also been there because he was the club treasurer at the time. And because he had university the next day, he had come on home. Mummy got increasingly anxious, and at 2:30 in the morning, she took a torch and walked the short distance to the Gaelic grounds to have a look around, because she thought something had happened, that he'd taken ill or whatever. And she walked around, shone the torch around between the two clubhouses along the side of the pitch, around the gate. There was no sign of anyone, no sign of any cars. So she took it into her mind then at that stage that someone had taken ill or he had gone to assist someone somewhere, and she returned home again. And then it came around 6:30 in the morning. She noticed two police officers short distance away from the house. And at that point, she went out to them and said, "My husband didn't come home last night. Where's his body?" And at that point, she obviously knew that something seriously was wrong. The two police officers were not that far away from the house at that time in the morning. And as she stated herself, and you'll have seen it in the documentary, they were all but nice to her and followed her up into the house. And then things just progressed from there, that the news had come through that a man had been found. I'd actually heard it on my way to work, because I hadn't known at this stage that a man's body had been found beside his burnt out car just on the outskirts of Randallstown. And obviously the news filtered through then, throughout the morning, that yes, Daddy had been taken and had been brutally murdered.
Now, the people who committed the murder, they were identified as loyalist paramilitaries, and who was likely to be behind it. But there was no resolution to your quest for answers. Why was he taken? What was their motive? Why did they kill him? Was it simply that he was an exemplar of a very good Catholic man in a nationalist area, and if we target him, we can target anybody?
That's basically sums it up. We have been waiting, fighting now for almost 27 years to find out why him. At the end of the day, he wasn't involved in anything political. He worked with both sides of the community. He taught young people. And that's what we were hoping when his inquest opened in March of last year, March 2023, that we would get some of those answers. But unfortunately, March of this year, Daddy's inquest was closed because of claims of national security. That information was held within the papers and the files, that that information couldn't be released to us as a family. And therefore the coroner was unable to conduct an inquest in the matter in which he would have needed to have done.
Now, who put the lid on this information being released? Was it, the spooks in London, or was it the local PSNI?
Basically, there was public interest immunity certificates lodged by the PSNI, the Ministry of Defence, and MI5 Security Services, that they were going all out to stop us as a family getting information as to why our father was cruelly murdered.
Now, Damon, you've been following all the judicial proceedings all along the way, and it's been a very long battle. Do you have any suspicions as to why you're being frustrated by the authorities in this way?
Yeah, I believe that the government has got a few dirty secrets, and they don't want the public getting any knowledge of them. They're pulling us through a legal minefield, trying to cover it all up.
The idea, presumably, there is the suspicion that there was collusion between loyalist paramilitaries and members of the security apparatus, be it the RUC or some other element of the security business.
Yes, well, our coroner, Judge Kinney, gave us a gist before the week before our inquest closed. It was literally a summary of what he could tell us, well, what he thought he could tell us, and it was that there was 25 suspects and several of them were state agents. So that rings alarm bells to tell us that the government or the RUC at that time knew, or Special Branch knew, that this was going to happen, and obviously when it was going to happen. Also, there was, at that time, Mark Swinger Fulton was the main suspect, or was one of the main suspects in his murder. And we found out as well that he had full-time surveillance on him at that time. And there was papers that noted that had the timetables, and it showed that surveillance was pulled on him at around midday on the 11th, and pick up again on the 12th on the evening of May in the evening. That just shows it's either the surveillance was still getting surveyed on them, or else they have pulled the papers. We don't know.
Now, the status of this investigation, by the way, it's interesting that we've been talking a lot on the programme in recent months about the whole steak knife thing, and how he was a double agent, and there were many people on the IRA side and Sinn Féin side who may have been double agents for the British. But equally true, on the loyalist paramilitary side, there were people who were, in theory, passing on information to the British security forces.
Yeah, I believe there's a lot of state agents on both sides. Also, like, a lot of state agents on both sides, and that's possibly why the government doesn't want to release the information we need, because they could be as guilty as the cold-blooded murderers that carried out the atrocities through the Troubles.
So where do you go to from here? The inquest has been closed. This Legacy Act, that impacts on, I presume, many people's quest for the truth.
The Legacy Act is a complete it's completely demoralizing for every family. It shuts down the door to truth and recovery for all families. Although the Legacy Act now doesn't affect us because our inquest has been shut because of the amount of redactions, and the coroner can't hold his coronial duty as a coroner to give us a truthful inquest, but it shuts the door on other families.
So the inquest in the case of your grandfather, is it suspended with no verdict, or is it over?
It's over.
It's over.
It was shut down. Yeah, the coroner couldn't fulfill his coronial duties and given us a truthful inquest. So he has recommended us for a public inquiry.
And that is the only mechanism that would help you get at the truth.
Yes, that's the only mechanism that can hold closed proceedings. Closed proceedings is where there's we actually can't hear it, but a legal representatives for us and for the other bodies can speak about the redacted material that's involved in it.
So it would be a public inquiry, but there would be closed sessions where that sensitive security material would be ventilated.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Have you given up hope that you'll ever get that, or do you still live in hope?
No, Judge Kenny, the coroner, wrote to the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State has to sign off on a public inquiry. So he wrote to the Secretary of State asking for us to have a public inquiry and have a reply within 4 weeks of our inquest closing. 4 weeks has passed, and on the day that our inquest, the day that the 4 weeks from the inquest, we were told that we got received a letter. He was supposed to give his answer whether it was yes or no, but he went further. He took a judicial review on our coroner because our coroner gave us a gist. He wanted to shut down gists throughout all inquests. It's an insult to the family.
Damon Brown.
And to all our families.
Damon, thank you very much for joining us. Damon is the grandson of Sean Brown and Siobhan Brown, daughter of the late Sean Brown. Thank you both very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.